And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, 2 ounces of Lead, was written by Mark Siegel.
A 100 years ago, as blue-clad soldiers marched the dusty roads that led to tragedy and victory at Gettysburg and Chancellorsville, at Lookout Mountain and all the storied battlegrounds of the Civil War, there was a song that echoed to the cadence of marching feet. Perhaps you remember the words. John Brown's body lies a moldering in the grave, but his truth goes marching on. What was his truth? It is that each man who lives bears a God-given responsibility not only for his own freedom, but for the freedom of all other men. It is a truth which marches on. This is a story of a man who fought with John Brown in the bitter years before the Civil War. But more than that, it is the story of a man who believed in freedom, who fought for freedom, who defended freedom and extended freedom. His name was August Bundy. His life is part of America's glory.
Of course I can tell you about August Bundy. One of the first jobs he ever worked at in this country was as a clerk in my dry goods store in St. Louis. Later we were partners. Benjamin Bundy and Wiener, that was the firm, General Merchandise. I was the senior partner. Jacob Benjamin's the name. There's lots to tell about August, but I guess the one thing that stands for all the rest is that when he died, he had 2 ounces of lead in his body. He was very proud of those 2 ounces of lead.
You cannot win a struggle without being a target. Every man who loves freedom has 2 ounces of lead in his body.
I used to tell him he needn't be so proud.
Depends on why you're wounded, Jacob, and for what. These 2 ounces of lead are part of freedom. I added them to my weight in the Civil War, but I guess I was getting ready to acquire them a long time before that.
And that was true. August Bundy spent his whole life acquiring those 2 ounces of lead. To understand those 2 ounces of lead, you have to go back a few years and to the other side. To the year 1848 in Vienna, when August was 15 years old.
Mama? Mama, where are you?
Here, August, packing.
And Papa?
Arranging for a carriage.
He'll be here in a few minutes.
Oh, it won't be too soon.
It's bad out there, August, in the city?
No, Mama. Quiet now. But they are making arrests.
Oh, don't worry, my son. We'll escape.
That's not why I worry, Mama.
Oh, you're thinking of Otto, then?
Yes, of Otto, and David, and so many others.
August, it's terrible. So young they were.
But to die for nothing, Mama, for nothing.
August, don't say that. It was not for nothing.
But they've crushed us, Mama, don't you understand?
Of course I understand.
All we asked was a right to be free. All we wanted was a republic, a country where men would be equal. Now it's over.
It's not over, August. It's never over, my child. And you will also learn that Otto and David and the others, they didn't die for nothing.
How can you be sure, Mama? How can you be so sure?
August, when Moses led our people out of Egypt, he himself did not reach the promised land. People who fight for freedom, August, they live forever in all generations. Oh, you remember that, my child.
I will try, Mama.
Good, then. Now help me close this chest. Pop will be here soon with the carriage. And we go to a land, God willing, August, where we can make a new life of freedom.
They came to St. Louis. There were many of us in St. Louis then. Immigrants from Austria and Bohemia. Men who had fought in Germany, in Hungary, in all of Central Europe for a new freedom, but who had been defeated. Or it seemed then to us that we had been defeated. Most of us in those first years struggled for a foothold in America. We became peddlers and farmers and storekeepers and tried for the moment to put out of our minds everything but the need of earning our bread. Most of us, I say, but not young August Bundy.
Mama.
What is it, August?
Mama, there is something I must tell you. I've told Papa already.
It's so serious, August?
Early tomorrow morning I am leaving. For New Orleans.
New Orleans? Why to New Orleans?
There are some men who are making up an expedition to Cuba. To free Cuba from Spanish rule.
To fight, August?
If necessary.
Again, August, again to fight?
Someone must do it, Mama. They are like slaves in Cuba.
But you again, my son? 2 years we've been in St. Louis. You have work. You have your first position, yes? Why should you go to Cuba?
Mama, the people, they are like slaves in Cuba.
You said that before, August.
And once, Mama, the day we left Vienna, you said the struggle for freedom is never over.
There are many ways to struggle for freedom, August. And not all the ways are with guns.
I know that.
To work, to build a free country. That's also to struggle for freedom.
But there are others who will do that. But, Mama, there aren't many willing to help the people of another country.
I see, I see. August, you're 17. That's a restless age. Do you go to help the Cubans? Or
For what?
For your own needs. Because you're restless, perhaps, or because you seek excitement and adventure?
If I go, does it matter why I go?
You haven't answered my question.
Mama, in Vienna you told me a man must fight for the freedom of all men. Does it matter why he fights?
It matters very much.
But why? Doesn't it come to the same thing in the end?
No. Not the same thing at all, my son. August, the world is full of men who do the right thing for the wrong reason.
And that is wrong? Even if what they do helps others?
Very wrong, August.
Mama, I don't understand. How can one man ever know why another man does what he does?
The important thing is that the man himself should know why he does what he does.
And if others think he is wrong?
Then it doesn't matter. If he knows in his heart that what he does is right, that's the path he must follow. Think, August. Think before you go. And if you go for the right reason, God be with you, my child.
He was only 17 years old then, and that night he struggled with his soul. And when he had satisfied himself that he was joining the expedition not for his own needs, but because he believed that men should live in dignity and freedom, he set out for New Orleans. It was a year later that I first met him.
Mr. Benjamin?
That's my name, young man. What can I do for you?
I'm August Bundy, Mr. Benjamin. I read your notice. I've come to make application for the position.
Sit down, Bundy.
Thank you, sir.
I suppose you've worked as a clerk in a store before?
No, sir.
You've kept books, then?
No, sir. I haven't done much of anything, sir, except being a soldier.
I wasn't aware that there was a war just now.
I fought in Vienna, Mr. Benjamin, and last year in Cuba.
Ah.
Both times we lost.
Yes, I know. Young man, the hours are 6 in the morning till 8 at night. You'll have to keep records of the stock, keep the store spotless clean, feed the stove with wood that you've chopped, wait on folks and deliver what they buy. You think you can learn to do it?
I'm sure I can, Mr. Benjamin.
You'll work hard, but the pay is fair. $2 a week. If you're willing, I'm ready to give you a try.
Thank you, sir, but...
But what, Bundy?
Well, there's a question I'd like to ask you.
Ask it.
Do you keep any slaves?
Why do you ask?
I won't work for a man who keeps slaves.
Even if the pay is good?
Even if the pay were $20 a week.
Really?
Really.
Good. I'm glad you asked. I've been looking for a man to work for me who wouldn't work for a man who kept slaves. You can start work tomorrow. He was a good clerk, but more than that, he was a good man. For 4 years, he worked for me in St. Louis. And in those 4 years, he became invaluable, not only in our business, but as a friend. It was in the spring of 1855 that I asked him to become my partner.
Jacob, I'm grateful to you.
Now, you needn't be, August. You've more than earned a partnership.
But I must refuse.
What's that?
I've been wanting to tell you, Jacob. I'm going across the line, into the Kansas Territory.
August, Kansas is a battleground. The pro-slavery men are driving the free staters out of the territory every day.
That's why I'm going.
They're desperados, August. They'll stop at nothing.
Jacob, if they're allowed to do what they're doing now, Kansas will come into the Union as a slave state.
I know that as well as you do, August, but... Doesn't a partnership with me mean anything to you, August?
It means a lot. But there are things which mean much more.
You're sure you're not doing this simply because... Well, because you're looking for a change? Did I say something funny?
No, not really, Jacob. It just seems to me that every time a man makes a decision to do something different, someone's bound to ask him if he isn't maybe just plain restless.
That's logical, isn't it?
Only if the man doesn't have convictions. That's something I thrashed out with my mother a long time ago.
Well, I suppose I should have known you'd be going to Kansas sooner or later. Here. Take this as my parting gift.
A musket? I won't be needing it, Jacob.
August, don't be a fool. You'll have to fight to survive in Kansas.
If I have to fight, I'll get a musket. But not before.
If you're not planning to fight, just what is it you're going to do in the territory?
Do? Jacob, I'll be opening a store, just like this one.
And you think opening a store is going to keep Kansas free?
There are many ways to build freedom, Jacob. Not only with guns. That's something else my mother taught me.
She's a very wise woman.
The wisest.
It'll take a lot of work for us to get going.
Us?
Of course us. Your mother's just convinced me to go to Kansas. We crossed the line into the territory on April 2nd, 1855. And in May, we settled on the Mosquito branch of Pottawatomie Creek in Franklin County. We kept our goods under canvas to protect them from the weather and began to build a little cabin that would be our store.
Well, Jacob, I guess that does it for today.
Unless you're looking to work by starlight, August.
Oh, that'll be a fine store. The claim here's a real pretty one. Good water, lots of timber. What more could we ask?
We could ask not to be molested. That's what we could ask.
No one's bothered us to now, Jacob.
Don't count on it to stay that way.
I won't. Oh, come on. Let's hew another beam, Jacob.
Well, there it is. Pretty as can be.
It'll do for a start. Now let's get our stock inside and onto the shelves.
Good.
Then tomorrow we can let the folks around here know that we're ready for business.
Come on right in.
Welcome to Benjamin and Bondi. You're our first customer, friend.
How do?
We've a full stock of axes, shovels, blankets...
Hold on, mister. I ain't buying just yet.
Well, sure. Have a look around.
Ain't looking just yet, neither.
Suit yourself.
Come by to see where you fellas stand.
How's that?
Things is pretty divided hereabouts in Franklin County.
What do you want to know, friend?
Don't want to know nothing, really. Just stopped by to give you all a friendly word.
And your friendly word, what is it?
Be careful of fires. Been lots of fires hereabouts lately.
We've heard. We watch our fires very carefully.
Makes sense to. Seems as how a mighty lot of folks has been burned out. Particularly free staters, Mr. Bondi and Benjamin. You understand?
It was the first threat, but not the last. For it was a tangled time in Kansas, those years of the late 1850s. The country waited and watched, wondering if the Kansas Territory would enter the Union as a free or a slave state. And the decision was being left to men like August. It was in October of 55 we heard the Free State men were holding an election for a territorial convention. When the news came to us, August was down with a fever.
I don't care about it, Jacob. You've got to take me along.
Now it's a 3-day ride, August. It'll be your death to go.
But this is why we came to Kansas in the first place, Jacob. Remember?
Certainly I remember. But you can't sit in a saddle 10 minutes, let alone 3 days.
The ox cart, then. Just load me into the ox cart.
I never knew a man more stubborn. You've got a fever, August. Can't you admit it?
I've got more than one kind of fever. Get out the ox cart, Jacob.
Well, there she is. That's the meeting house.
Told you I'd make it, Jacob.
Fact is, August, you look healthier than when we started.
Doing the right thing? That's a tonic, Jacob.
Tonic or no tonic, I'm happy you're alive. Well, let's get you on inside where we can meet some of the Free State folk we've been looking for.
Brothers! Brothers in freedom! Brothers in freedom! We're met to take our stand, to say our say, to declare in the sight of the Lord who created man equal, that we live by his word. Shall the sinful blight of slavery fall upon the Kansas Territory? No!
We listened, the Free State men of Kansas Territory, and a man named John Brown thundered his intention, his white beard flowing, his eyes ablaze, his jaw set, and our resolve was hardened as John Brown, who looked like a Hebrew prophet, spoke the words of a Hebrew prophet.
Let his words guide us. Let us stand fast in our righteousness. Let each man look to the words of the Holy Scriptures. Justice shalt thou pursue.
Captain Brown?
Sir?
My name is Bondi, August Bondi.
From down Pottawatomie way? They've told me of you.
I've looked to meeting you, Captain, for almost half a year.
They're not very friendly to free staters out there, I'm thinking.
No, not very.
Likely things be worse when you get back there and folks know you've been to vote.
I suspect so.
You can count on me and my sons to help if things get bad, Bondi.
And you on us, Captain.
But I'm hoping and praying they won't. Though I doubt the slave men will give up without violence.
Those that talk against you say you hope for violence, Captain.
Do you hope for it?
I hope for peace.
Good. I won't tolerate a man who looks for fighting. We came from Ohio, all my family, our cattle, all we own. We didn't come to fight.
I believe you, Captain.
We settled in the territory to help make Kansas a free state by lawful means. But we're bound to resist force by force. That's part of a man's duty to God.
Captain Brown, there are words of a hero of my faith that fit.
Of your faith?
I am a Jew.
Ah, then, Bondi, I believe I know the words.
You do?
I believe I do. Are they not? Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God.
It took 3 days in the saddle for us to get back to our claim. But the news of the Free Staters' meeting got to Pottawatomie before us.
Jacob! Jacob, do you see it?
Smoke! And for sure it's hanging over our claim.
Here, come on.
Burned to the ground.
Yeah.
Well, they told us to take care of fires, didn't they?
Well, August, what now?
Now, we'll build again.
And if they burn us out again?
We'll build another time. Jacob, it takes a lot of building to build liberty.
We built again. And they burned us out again. We built a third time. And now it seemed burning us out had become too slow.
What is it, Jacob?
A rock this time. There's a note on it.
Hmm. Yeah. Get out and stay out.
I mean it, August.
Guess they do.
August, don't you think it's time we armed ourselves?
Not yet, Jacob. Not till they force us to.
The wave of violence grew not only on Pottawatomie Creek, but all over Kansas. And on the morning of May 21st, 1856, we were awakened by the sound of galloping hooves.
Bondy! Benjamin!
We're here.
One of Captain Brown's men.
The pro-slavery men, they've attacked the town of Lawrence.
Attacked? With guns?
With guns. With fire, even with cannon. Captain Brown's getting men together.
We're with you, then.
I'll saddle the horses.
No time for that, Jacob. We'll ride without saddles. You'll find two rifles in the hollow log behind the shed.
You have two rifles?
Since the day we got here, Jacob. Now hurry. There's no time to be lost.
We joined John Brown, his four sons, and a few others. And at Lawrence, Kansas, we fired what were really the first shots of the Civil War. We were too late to save the lives of the Free State men of Lawrence. Too late to do more than show that in the name of freedom, free men would resist force by force. By nightfall, we were in flight. We retreated to a secluded ravine some 20 miles to the north to camp for the night. By the light of the campfire, I looked at the faces of the nine other men in John Brown's company. John Brown looked into the fire as if it were the future. There was no trace of defeat in that heroic face. Nor was there in the face of August Bondy, my partner.
You look weary, Jacob. Try to sleep.
I am weary, August. But it is a weariness of the spirit. They've outnumbered us. They've outmaneuvered us.
And you wonder what sense it makes to go on fighting.
Yes, I do. I think it's time to go back to Missouri.
No, no. It is time to stay.
But this fight, it's lost, August. It's over.
It's never over, Jacob.
What do you mean?
It's something my mother taught me long ago. The fight for freedom, it's never over.
And for the men who died today, it's not over for them?
People who fight for freedom, Jacob, they live forever in all generations. This, too, my mother taught me. And it is something that I know, Jacob. Something that I feel. Something that I believe with all my soul. So I think, does John Brown.
In the years that followed, millions of men marched to the swinging cadence of a song. And among those men was August Bondy, my partner and my friend. He served in the Kansas Volunteer Cavalry until the last year of the Civil War, when his wounds brought him his discharge.
It was in the Civil War he picked up the 2 ounces of lead he carried in his body till he died. And sometimes, it seems to me, he's marching still with John Brown down the dusty road of history in your time as he did in mine. For those 2 ounces of lead are part of freedom, and people who fight for freedom, they live forever in all generations. It is a truth which marches on.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Milton Weil, prominent communal leader of New York City, former president of the Federation of Jewish Philanthropies of New York, and honorary trustee of the Park Avenue Synagogue, New York City. Mr. Weil.
August Bundy's story might have taken place today. Its locale might be our own South. It might be the Far East. It might be South Africa. It might be any place or many places in the world where men struggle for human rights, for freedom from oppression, or freedom for equality. Our founding fathers spelled out their beliefs in freedom in a stirring Declaration of Independence and in a masterful Constitution. Rudyard Kipling poetically phrased his thought when he wrote, "All we have of freedom, all we use or know, this our fathers bought for us long and long ago." When President Roosevelt acclaims, as he did in 1941, his concept of the four freedoms, when President Eisenhower proclaims the rights of small nations and free men to defend their concept of freedom by democratic processes, and is ready to bring to their assistance aid with which to resist outside forces that seek to destroy this freedom by ruthless, aggressive measures, when the United Nations dedicates itself to the protection of the rights of all nations, to the peaceful resolvement of their individual destinies, they seek, in a much broader way, for the same principles and ideals that Bundy, in his individual way, fought to preserve. Today we still have our enemies of freedom, even as in Bundy's day when those opposed to freedom took the law in their own bigoted hands and burned down the homes of those who fought for the rights of man, so today do we still find right here in our own United States fiendish enemies of a free way of life irresponsibly bombing out sacred houses of worship to threaten and bludgeon those who stand for principles with which they do not agree. The world needs today, as it did in Bundy's day, fighters for freedom, men ready to risk the danger of even more than 2 ounces of lead. Yes, even as in August Bundy's day, the struggle for the right of free men to remain free is never over. As in the case of John Brown, its truth must still go marching on.
Thank you, Mr. Weil. Our eternal light drama today, 2 ounces of lead, was written by Mark Siegel. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Leon Janney, Bob Hastings, Beatrice Pons, Danny Acco, and Guy Repp. Norman Rose was your narrator. This is Lionel Rico speaking. Our program is directed by Parker Gibbs. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.